Growing the Game with Ballsy is a podcast dedicated to growing the game of football in Saskatchewan. Each week, Michael Ball will talk with Rider guests, but he'll also highlight amateur athletes, coaches, and builders in his province, growing the game we love. Now, here's Ballsy.
And Growing the Game with Ballsy, brought to you by Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan and David Dubé and the Concord Group of Companies. Thanks to him for supporting this sport at the amateur level, as he really backs up what he says. He supports this not only with his ideas, but he also supports this podcast and amateur football with his money, too. Face First Medical Aesthetics, above Gabo's on Dewdney Avenue in downtown Regina. You're looking after your body in the new year. How about your face? Freshen up your look in a naturally-looking way with Crescendo over there at Face First Medical Aesthetics. Mark Greshner Photography. Check out his fine work at markgreshner.com. Paul Waldo at Royal LePage in Regina. Get in the real estate game with the three-time Grey Cup champ by giving him a call, 306-502-5355. Double Z Ag Sales in Weyburn. Corey Zadarozniak out there in Weyburn. For grain hauling, grain marketing, and crop insurance, check out Double Z Ag Sales. Sasalex Football, building the gridiron stars of tomorrow, today. And our friend Paul Riviere, Riviere Ag Seed, Southern Saskatchewan's premium certified seed grower, delivering homegrown certified Durham yellow peas and chickpeas. Well, as we draw 2020 to a close, thankfully, one of the things I missed about the football season, not only Rams but Riders, was seeing Ed Bankowski, one of the great volunteers, not only for the big football team as he's helped out the Rough Riders at their various training camps, but also a Regina Ram director for four decades. He's in the spotlight today as we highlight one of the builders of the game, helping keep this great sport alive. You know, Ed, one of the things that I miss about the Rider games, I have a ritual. I get $10 worth of tickets at my stage for the pregame show in the Harvard Green and White Lounge. And then I come out of the stadium and I always find my buddy Ed Bankowski to buy 10 bucks. Not so much for the tickets, Ed, it's just to say hi to you. How you been doing, my friend?
I am doing well, Michael. Yeah. Doing well and getting older by the day, but enjoying them.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. How much do you miss your football? Because that's been a big part of your life.
Oh, gosh, I miss it a whole big lot. I try to overcome that by watching a lot of football on television, but that doesn't really replace my involvement with the Rams.
Yeah, for sure. One thing before we get to more talk with the Rams, I did see you out in Moose Jaw, that 7-on-7 league that Zelko and his wife put on. You're watching your grandson. That must be kind of neat to watch your grandson play some football.
Oh, yes. He's 16 now, and I've watched him starting in flag football when he was about six. So it's very, very comforting to me to watch my grandchildren, because my granddaughter, who just turned 12, also plays football and is an exceptional hockey player.
Awesome, man. That puts a smile on Ed Bankowski's face. Now, Ed, what got you involved with the Rams? Because you didn't have a son play on the Rams, so why did you get involved?
Well, it goes back a long way, Michael. Back to my childhood, growing up in the small town of Lintlaw. My father had a general store, and in the store he distributed the Saskatoon Star Phoenix and the Regina Leader Post. And so as a youngster, I took to reading the sports pages. I've always had an interest in sports, and I became interested in football. So when I was about 10 or 12 years old, I convinced my dad to bring me into a Labor Day game and watch the Rough Riders. And that kind of was my indoctrination to football. Since that time, I've been crazy for football.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so what do you like best, or what have you liked best about your affiliation with the Regina Rams? When a lot of, you know, people, when they think of the Rams, they think of Gord Curry, obviously. They think of Frank McChrystal. But what people don't realize is there's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that go behind the scenes. Guys like you that, you know, it's easy to get involved in a board of directors or whatever, selling 50-50s when you have some flesh in the game, your own flesh and blood. Maybe if your grandson goes on to play with the Rams, that's where it'll come full circle. But you did it without any flesh in the game. So Like, why did you do that, Ed? Besides loving football, why the Rams? What made you so passionate about the Rams and continues to make you passionate about the Rams?
Well, in my work career, I got transferred 5 times in 10 years into Regina, out of Regina, and back to Regina in 1981. At that time, my children were getting older, growing up, and I thought that I should do something in the community. I was always a Y member, and at the Y, I met Norbert Thurmeyer and Gary Mather, and I said, you know, I'm back in Regina because I'd been here 3 years earlier. I said, I'd like to do something in the community. Do you guys have any suggestion? I said, oh, yeah, we're on the Ram Board of Directors. We always need help there. So away I went, and this kind of revived my love of football.
Mm-hmm. You were named Executive of the Year, and you're well-regarded in the junior days. How proud were you to see this football team? And it was a juggernaut football team. In junior football, almost to the point of boredom, and I say that because it was either you or the Hilltops and mostly the Rams that would win. So you guys decided to take that next step into the university ranks. How proud were you to see the University of Regina Rams come into being?
Oh, it was certainly satisfying, and as you said, it pretty near became boring or, I don't know, uninteresting to play the junior football game because we did win so often and work so hard. But, you know, that we treated it as if we were a minor professional team, say, and knowing that the other teams, other than the Hilltops, like the Edmonton teams, Calgary teams, perhaps they only practiced 3 times a week, and they didn't take it as seriously as we did. And whenever we attended the meeting, they said, oh, you guys in Regina, you're so lucky. It just happens for you. I said, well, not really.
yeah, no kidding. Just take us behind the scenes, Ed, and maybe things have changed in the university ranks in terms of fundraising and stuff. But one of the things was the Rams kept their name so that they could raise their own funds because they had to raise their own funds. But just talk about what an undertaking it is behind the scenes to be a volunteer, to do 50-50s, to do all of those things, to just keep and field the football team. I don't think a lot of people just think it happens. Like you said, it doesn't just happen.
No, it sure doesn't just happen. And there's during the most of my career as a Ram director, which is going on 40 years, we've had anywhere from 35 to 40 directors all working very diligently to raise money to keep the club afloat.
Yeah. How concerned are you, Ed, about the future of football, not only at the CFL level, which you love, but at the amateur ranks? Like I don't think we can take for granted that we'll see football again. I sure hope we do. I'm positive we will, but it's not a foregone conclusion.
Oh, it sure isn't. I don't feel good about it at all, Michael. I have lots of apprehension towards football being played again, and as most things, they'll probably never ever be the same. There may be some format of it, but it'll be different than what we're accustomed to, that's for sure.
Yeah. Ed, how's your, you know, we talked this started this interview asking you know, you're getting up there, but you're still looking great. But how have you been dealing with COVID? Have you been really locking things down yourself?
Yeah, I've been hanging out in my condo here. As COVID struck, I was down with the McChrystals in Costa Rica for a couple weeks.
Right.
And when I came back, I had to self-isolate for 2 weeks. And that kind of gave me the format for how to self-isolate, to live in my condo all by myself. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, we've got an amenities room downstairs with some weights and a treadmill in it that I made very good use of on a pretty much daily basis.
Ed, lastly, and you're not dying, and I don't mean this about that, but just, you know, 40 years, executive of the year, you've been through the junior ranks into university. How do you want Ed Bankowski's tenure with the Rams to be acknowledged? Like, what would you like people to say about you in terms of your behind-the-scenes work with the football team as it continues, and hopefully for a few more years yet?
I'm not sure how to answer that, Mike. I just hope that everybody would think that he was a good guy and he worked hard for a common cause, and that everything turned out well. And he'll, you know, what I like the most about my relationship with the Rams to this day, too, is the good friends that I've made. The Paul Barnbys, the Doug McKillops, the coaches, the Schmidt, Bernie Schmidt, mm-hmm. Frank McChrystal. I very much appreciate the social side of it now. And Frank and Bernie and I get together for coffee once a week.
Well, that's awesome. That's awesome. And those guys are. Bernie told Frank not to change diapers. Like, watch what diapers you're changing, hey? Were you good at changing diapers as a grandpa or what?
Oh, absolutely. I was maybe not as a grandpa, but as a father.
You were good. Yeah.
You're probably going to laugh at this, Michael, but this is a truism. In my day, it was there was no such thing as the throwaway diaper. It was the cloth diaper that you washed. And I used to iron the diapers before the kids put them on, if you can believe that.
Wow, what a hero, man. That takes your legendary status to another level, Ed Bankowski. Hey, I appreciate everything you've done, because I played on the Rams and you were a guy behind the scenes that did everything so I could be on the field. Lots of kids before me, lots of guys after me, and I really appreciate it. And I really hope I get to walk the concourse and buy $10 of loser tickets from you again. one time soon. Thanks for this, Ed. I appreciate it. Merry Christmas. Best of the season to you, buddy.
Okay, Michael. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you and yours. And I am looking forward to visiting with you again.
You meant to say sell me those loser tickets, but that's okay. It's for a great cause. Thanks, Ed. I appreciate it.
Okay, Michael. Thank you.
Well, of course, 2020 saw a horrible pandemic that forced the cancellation of a number of things and really put a wrench into football in Saskatchewan. Now, the RMF did a great job holding some games here. Jeff Stusick, Len Antonini, Kelly Hamilton, and their group did a great job pulling off a season for the kids. I know we had some flag football, too, so good job to Mike Thomas and his gang. But, of course, no high school football in the fall, which is devastating, especially for the kids in grade 12 trying to get some tape out there for the next level of football. Speaking of the next level of football, no junior or U sports football. That was devastating to a lot of kids. The 2020 recruiting class didn't have an opportunity to show what they could do. And now a 2021 class will come in. Who knows what that looks like with no fall football. I'm really hoping that we can get some sort of activity in the football world for these kids that are graduating. Can we have a high school season in the later spring? Or maybe we can do the RMF Spring League with grade 12s. Congratulations to those up in Saskatoon. The Saskatoon Minor Football League held their academy up there, which got grade 12s some great tape and let them play some football. So good job to Brian Giebert and the gang up there. The CFL did not play. We know that. They need fans in the stands. This bubble thing was a dream. It's not going to work. With a TV contract that is okay but not great, and that's no cut down to TSN, but it's certainly not like Fox or NBC or CBS or ESPN. They don't have that kind of dough. So the CFL cannot go with a bubble with no fans unless they get government help. And, of course, Randy Ambrosi was not prepared to go before the committee. He looked pathetic in doing that. Hopefully Ambrosi and his crew have done a great job formulating a plan here. They always say, don't waste the crisis. If the CFL doesn't play in 2021, I hate to say it, but fold up shop. And then what does that do for a team like the Regina Rams that relies on 50-50s? Or teams that use the Riders as a financial and foundational support? The Riders give money to a lot of football programs, a lot of football teams, and foundational support in terms of direction, in terms of player appearances, and that type of thing. So hopefully they can get things figured out in the CFL in 2021. But I had an open letter to the CFL in 2020, just my thoughts on what they need to do going forward. So I think it's worth revisiting as we wrap up 2020. Want to thank everybody for listening to this podcast. Please tell your friends and family and friends in the football community. Let's grow this sport. This helps grow the sport, promote our own kids, our own coaches, our own volunteers. That's how we keep this sport alive and grow it. It starts at the grassroots level. Dear CFL, don't Don't waste a crisis. It is time to reset. Get a better business model that includes realistic salaries across the board, okay? Quarterback salaries, I've said this for a long time, they're too high. Now, should the quarterback be the highest paid guy? Yes. What salary should he get? I don't know that. I'd like to know what your expenses are. Look at your expenses, and then that's how we determine what the highest salary is. Like, yes, you know what? I'd love tomorrow to go out and buy myself a new Chevy Camaro, but I can only afford a mid-size car. Or right now I'm driving a 2005 Nissan Sentra while my son has my car in the States. That's all I can afford right now. If I can't afford as a league to pay $600,000 quarterbacks, why the hell am I paying $600,000 for a quarterback? They are not going anywhere. If they were going to be playing in the NFL, they'd be in the NFL. The Rock isn't going to pay them that kind of money in the XFL, so why are we if we can't afford it? Do a better job of marketing your product. The Riders do a great job, but in competitive markets, you need to do a better job of marketing your product. Bo Levi Mitchell should be on the same plane, advertising-wise, as Matthew Tkachuk. I know it's apples and oranges. They have more money in the NHL, but you got to do a good job of promoting Bo Levi Mitchell, let's say, in a market like Calgary. And forget this global thing. Say you've got 9 restaurants and your 3 largest are failing. Would you expand to another city? No, you'd either contract or fix what you have. Randy, just stop it with this global stuff. We don't need any more sideline mannequins. Don't force another one onto the roster. We've got lots of Canadian talent to scour. That brings me to my next point. You want to grow the game? Turn more women onto the sport by supporting ladies' football. I didn't realize this. The CFL quit funding the Fall Flag Football League here in Regina. Just up and quit. So the NFL, they called them, the NFL took it over, and so now they own the Spring Football League and the Fall Flag Football League. Imagine, the CFL would rather have kids in Regina, the heartland of football, running around with New Orleans Saints jerseys on as opposed to BC Lions or Winnipeg Blue Bombers or Hamilton Tiger Cat jerseys on. Like, they want the kids to grow up being Michael Thomas of the Saints and not Brandon Banks of the Tiger Cats. Like, give me a break. Give your head a shake. Introduce new Canadians to the sport. Like Football Saskatchewan and the Riders did before this pandemic hit. They had a clinic, they had riders out introducing the sport to new Canadians. Like, new Canadians come here. Man, why does everybody dress up in green and go to that big white building on Elphinstone Street? Well, let's show them why we go there. Come on. And how about we look at adding more Canadians to the roster? If I'm the feds, if you want taxpayers' cash, you have to protect and add to the roster. Don't give me this crap that there aren't enough Canadians, garbage. There are two. And look at adding them in skill positions, not just the O-line position. Canadian kids need to feel like they have a chance to run out of the tunnel in a CFL jersey on game day. Right now, that dream is dying for most. And it's partly why we don't have young kids paying attention to this league. And don't tell me playing in a semi-pro league in Mexico is the same thing. We have to protect our own. In the music industry, if we didn't have to play Brett Kissel or Shania Twain or Rush or the Tragically Hip or Nickelback, if we weren't mandated to play 35% Canadian content, those artists would never be discovered. For instance, Brett Jones of Weyburn from the Rams. If the CFL didn't have to look to fill Canadian spots, Brett Jones isn't discovered by the Calgary Stampeders. He doesn't go on to become the outstanding lineman here in the CFL and then get an NFL contract. It doesn't happen because American coaches aren't going to be looking for Canadian guys. They're automatically going to pass over them. So we got to protect our own. We can't compete against the U.S. in terms of money or the sheer numbers of players they have. Put the C in the CFL, okay? We need to promote our own. Perception is everything. Some of the best football I've watched in the last 5 years has been at the amateur level. And the average fan in Section 505 isn't going to know the difference between the corner from the U of S or the fourth cornerback coming from Clemson. Especially since everybody in the league will be playing by the same rules. So you got a chance to reset that there. And staying on this point, would somebody legitimately find me the next Russ Jackson? I've got a tough time believing we can't find a Canadian quarterback worthy of playing in this league. A legit star. We haven't had that since the 60s when Jackson did it.
Let that marinate for a minute. You know why? I believe it's an American coaching bias. Yes, the CFL does have the program to bring quarterbacks to camp, Canadian quarterbacks, but it's nothing more than a token act for the most part. Think about this for a minute. This past draft year, Colton Klassen of the U of S Huskies, former Regina Thunder player, was drafted by the Owls in the sixth round. A guy who had such a bad leg break in last year's CanWest playoffs, many thought he'd never play again. And with the pandemic, this guy's a true wild card. They haven't been able to get their eyeballs on him, okay? Combines and everything canceled. Now, I think he's going to be a steal. I love the kid. He's a great football player, a Neil Hughes type. But the Owls take him without really knowing his health, without doing the eyeball test. But the best quarterback to play in the CanWest in the last probably 10 years is Adam Sinagra of the Calgary Dinos. And he isn't even worth a late round pick. He has to sign as a free agent in Montreal. What's wrong with this picture? You find me a Canadian quarterback and you'll be printing money, especially here in Saskatchewan. Imagine a Josh Donnelly with the Rams or Mason Nyes with the Huskies as a quarterback on the Riders roster if they legitimately earn it and if they're legitimately given a chance. That's a marketing and merchandising person's dream. Now, I can't speak for Donnelly yet because he's too young, but Nyes has been to two CFL training camps, once with the Riders and most recently with the Stamps. And I was at the Rider one, and he threw the ball better than Brandon Bridge at Riders camp. So why not him? Why not the Regina boy from Lakewood, Regina, with a chance to play in the CFL? But no, you go to the first CFL week here in Regina, and it was like, okay, let's go for a cup of coffee. The quarterbacks are up next. Actually, the quarterbacks weren't up next because there wasn't a drill for quarterbacks at a CFL combine. Are you kidding me? You gotta be freaking kidding me. The most important position in North America sports, let alone football, and we don't have drills at the CFL week for Canadian quarterbacks? You gotta be kidding me. I'm just speaking of the one that was here, the very first one, but I can't imagine it being much different. Lastly, this league needs to get people to the stadium. Gambling and fantasy is the way to go at the stadium. I should be able to get a hot dog, a beer, a Rams 50-50, and be able to make a prop bet on the game at the stadium live and cash my ticket in there. That's what needs to happen. We need to take this to the next level. The NFL is going there. The CFL needs to go there. You need to get the young people to the games, and that's a way to do it. Another way to do it, cameras at the stadium, maybe in the locker room. You take people behind the scenes, stuff you can't get on TSN, stuff you can't get at home. It's just in stadium, because this is still a gate-driven league. Even though TSN has given them a pretty good TV deal, we need to get people to the stadium. Or how about after the game? I've said this before. We built a $289 million football stadium. We have no real restaurants around it, but we have restaurants inside, and we have a nice area, the Harvard, the 620 CKRM studio, the Harvard Lounge there, where we do our post-game show, our pre- and post-game show. People show up for the pre-game show, and they watch me and my panelists there on the stage. So that's good. But after the game, within an hour, everybody's forced to leave. Why? Why? And why? We need to bring Rough Rider players on the stage, have them interact with the fans after the game. I get it, they just played a football game. But we feed the guys. We let the fans sit there and listen to us lob them questions. They answer the questions about the game. And then maybe you give us some questions from the crowd. There needs to be interaction there. We need to take this to the next level. And everybody in this business needs to realize it's not just sports. It's an entertainment business. You can't just say, game's at 2, game's over at 5, everybody come, everybody go home. No. You gotta use this time, CFL. Don't waste the crisis. Just my thoughts. But we need to do things differently because they're not working the way they are now. It's the Canadian Football League. And I want to leave you with this. I'm not against Americans, because the two greatest football players in Rider history are Lancaster and Reed, both Americans. But it is time for us to get back to our grassroots in terms of our marketing, in terms of what we pay, in terms of our expectations. We're never going to be the NFL. We're the Canadian Football League, and there's nothing wrong with that.
This has been Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a football story you'd like to share to help us grow the game, email Michael Ball at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. Ballsy can be heard weekdays in Regina on 104.9 The Wolf Morning Show and during Saskatchewan Roughriders and U of R Rams broadcasts on 620 CKRM.